Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Welcome to Exploring the Prophetic, my weekly sermon where we talk about things that God's doing in the now. And this week I want to talk about this phrase, weight exchange. I think it's time for a weight exchange. And in light of all the crises that have happened, whether it's the fires or hurricanes for the last 6 months, or whether it's the polarization of politics, or maybe it's just faith crisis, or even family and emotional crisis that's been happening all over the world. We've had so many crises in the last season. It's been a lot. It's been a lot for a lot of people. And the burdens that you've been carrying, whether they're financial or relational or spiritual or whatever they are, emotional, there's exhaustion on so many people. And the uncertainty of what's next has really been hard for so many. Some people have new waves of hope because of circumstances that have happened for them. But there's a lot of people who are stuck in this 50% anxiety, at least in America, epidemic that's happening right now. And you were never meant to rest with all this weight on your shoulders alone. And that's one of the things about Christianity, is that when you're a Christian, when you believe in Jesus, you understand that his yoke is easy and his burden's light. And it's time to exchange and stop trying to carry what we're carrying for the reality of God carrying it for us. He's carrying it for you. I love that scripture I just mentioned. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Matthew 11:28-30. And there's this divine rebalancing available to all of us in the weight that you've been carrying, in all these issues, like when you feel the heaviness, maybe it is anxiety, maybe it's even worse than that. Maybe it's gone into spirals of depression, or it's affected your thought life and the way that you gain or lose hope or faith. And it's time to surrender these. And surrender is not an easy word. So it sounds really easy. And I could say it like almost flippantly, surrender. But I'm going to talk to you about the surrender so that we can take on his weights. And what does that look like? And to get the weight of his presence instead of the weight and the burden of these kinds of things, the weight of his promises and the weight of his peace versus the weight of the world. And I think that that's something that, as a Christian, man, it's one of the practices that we have to learn in our relationship, our daily relationship with reading the Bible, our daily relationship with prayer, our daily relationship with hearing God in our hearts and through his Spirit. I think it's one of the big things that is missing in our practice, because so much of our practice is focused on the negative or focused on what's wrong versus who God is. And when we focus on who Jesus is, we start to see things differently in the entire world. It gives us a lens for life and a discernment for life, where we see what God's doing, not just what the enemy's doing. We see what God's doing, not just what man's doing wrong around us, which is one of the big themes of our ministry, is to point people, to navigate people through culture and issues so that they can see what Jesus is doing and how beautiful he is, and just they can understand the love of God. And I think of this, I do this sometimes, usually about once a week with my daughters, where they tell us all kinds of things that's happening. Usually there might be a little meltdown, or there might just be a little discouragement with a friendship circle or something in school. And we have to look at with them, what is God doing though? What are the good things that have happened? And that's a good way to look for what God's doing. What are the good things that are happening in your friendships and in your skills, your talents, and the circle that you have? What can you celebrate and what can you look for? And again, you know, Paul talks about that so much, where he's like, set your mind and your affections on things above, or whatever's pure, right, noble, think on these things. That's a practice. And that's a practice that it doesn't come naturally. Like, our soul and our flesh when we're born is imprinted with like the desire to understand negative things so we can avoid them. And we have to practice focusing on what's good, what's right. We have to practice to focus on the goodness of God. It's one of the reasons why we worship, is so we can look at his goodness and, oh, you're always good no matter what I'm seeing or experiencing. And you're not meant to be crushed under the weight of anything, and especially what you can't control. You're not supposed to be crushed by what you can't control. And one of the best parts of being a Christian is that you get to walk with God in a way that you get to surrender, and you get to give someone else some of the responsibility for what's going on in your life, to work it out with you and for you. And that's what God does. There's not many religions where a spiritual entity or a being would serve the people as well as be served by the people in this way, out of love, out of a place of like having your best interest, where his name is Father, his name is good, you know, goodness, his name is all of these things. There's no other religion that has that. And when my second daughter was born, Hartley, I was on the road traveling so much as a minister. I was gone like 100 days a year. And I was trying to reduce that, but we were just, you know, in a season of blessing and working with the body of Christ on hearing God's voice and the whole thing. She came down seriously right when she was born with RSV, which is like a child, an infant pneumonia, the type that she had. And I remember how precious this little child felt to us in her life. Like, I'm carrying her in my hands, but her life was in God's hands. And it just felt so powerless and helpless. Not that God felt powerless, but just in my humanity as a man. I know Cherie, my wife, felt similarly, you know, and we had to surrender in a way that we never did before. And it was moment by moment. It wasn't just like a once and for all, like, oh, it's all going to be okay. I didn't have that it's all going to be okay feeling. And I had doctors telling me, prepare for the worst. We're trying to get through this. And I remember praying, you know, for her and just seeing her grow up in the milestones of life, you know, the stages of life that, you know, you just expect your child to go through. She's this little infant in my arms. I'm just seeing her at all the moments that are going to be special in her life. And it wasn't a prophetic vision or anything, but it was just like just seeing her as a father. And it was both made it better because I'm praying for it. Like she deserves this, God. You gave her a life. She deserves to live out all the days you've called her to. But there's also fear. Like, what if she doesn't get those days? And I've had friends who've had infants die, and I've had, you know, so I began to pray because my human anxiety and fear over what maybe wasn't going to happen was at an all-time high. And so I had to like look at that and go, okay, God, I need to give you this because I can't carry this whole situation on my own. I have no capacity. I don't know where to put this. Like, we're humans. We don't know where to put the pain and anxiety and the fear over the situations other than to just say, I surrender it to you. I'm going to focus on this little girl and those milestones and the beauty of what you made in her and just celebrate her life in my arms today as she's coughing and wheezing and needing like a nebulizer and these kinds of things. And my story gets better. I mean, Hartley is a wonderful, healthy child today. Yeah, and, you know, being in those late nights and some hospital stuff, you know, it teaches you to cast your burden on the Lord differently. And I think family does that because there's things that happen that it's so outside of our control as family. But I love that scripture, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 55:22. And we shake, but we don't get shaken off of the foundation when we're anchored in. And that's one of the things that my wife and I have had to practice in our family. My parents taught me about anchoring in my whole life to how to anchor into the love of God. And there isn't always a lot you can do when hardship strikes, when it's this kind of hardship, you know, when it's something like financial or when it's something with health or something like the fires in California where they were dependent on government or maybe firemen or whatever, you know, helping them to save their houses. And so much can be out of your control. And being out of control is one of the worst feelings in the world. Children don't like it. Adults don't like it. Tantrums are born out of it, you know, all these things. But you can work on your response and how you carry the weight and how you give the weight to God and carry his weight. And you can actually work on a lot of issues. And I know, of course, we know the number one is repentance. It's a beautiful way to create weightlessness when there's something that's ongoing in your life. I've had to repent many times in my life, and both just to God and also to people. And I know that's, it creates, like, it's in the light, and all of a sudden you're different when you repent. And there's working on taking thoughts captive, intrusive thoughts that are the worst, and allowing them to especially have cycles in your mind. It degrades your ability to walk in faith and love and hope. And so, like, working on your thought life is one of the best ways to create weightlessness or to create the weight, the burden of God in your life. And I know you can work on that in a number of ways, but I love when you can actually meditate on the word, when you can actually look for those principles that are the opposite, when you know you're weak with anxiety or you're weak with fear or you're weak with control or whatever it is, that you start to work on looking for what the opposite is and actually applying those skills or those talents or get coaching or therapy or whatever it is. Or, you know, if your church is in a series on helping with that, really taking notes and focusing on it, I think it's really helpful. But there's also, you can work on your routines and how you do your day. I think one of the worst ways that I've failed in times of crisis where I've carried too much weight is I got out of all kinds of good routines, like whether it's working out or eating healthy or the routines of date night or the routines of family weekends or whatever it is, like the routines of just the habits and the hobbies that we have, those kinds of things. So much time in crisis, you give up everything. You're in survival mode. And I think that one of the things we can do in crisis is actually honor some of those routines to allow God to carry the weight. And I love, of course, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And you can't cast your burdens on God if you don't think he cares about them more than you do. You just can't. So because you'll be the one, you know other people don't care about your issues as much as you do, but you're hoping that God does, but we don't always believe that. So learning how to believe that God cares about your problems, God cares about what's affecting you more than you do is one of the most beautiful things, one of the most beautiful things we can do. And I've had to do that in current seasons. I've had to do that in past seasons. And, you know, the waiting is not a game. And sometimes we hear that word, the waiting game with God or the waiting game with relationships or things. And you might keep asking, is this going to shift, God? And there's a currency of these seasons that I love, Isaiah 40:31, where it says, wait upon me and I'll renew your strength. There's something about waiting that actually builds strength in us when we wait right. when we don't wait passively, but we wait growing forward and we wait pressing in. I love that Isaiah 40:31 says that you're going to renew your strength. And this shifts all the weights when you think of it, when you're waiting. And waiting is such a place where the weights are exchanged, right? And I think it's one of the hardest places to exchange, because so much of the time you're waiting and you can't see what you have faith to believe for in that relationship or in that circumstance or in that conflict. But when you wait, the unbearable load of becoming lighter is His responsibility that you acknowledge as well. Like, it's not your responsibility anymore. Like, you can do what you can do in your human strength and with your spirituality when you apply your spirituality, but you're really looking for God's strength at that point, and you're renewing yourself and you're strengthening yourself in the Lord. Paul talks about standing firm in your foundation over and over and over, which is one of my favorite scripture, you know, sermons that he does over and over in so many of the different epistles. And I think I've been listening to a lot of people who've like taken C.S. Lewis messages and kind of modernized them and have brought them into kind of now. And it's really interesting how many of them are talking about the foundation. And the foundation is where a lot of the ability to create weightlessness comes from, or create His weight and His burden comes from. And there's a supernatural exchange that happens when we walk with God in that weight exchange with Jesus, where we shouldn't in our humanity be able to feel as weightless as we do. We just shouldn't. People will look at you and say, how come you're okay? And you'll have one answer, Jesus. And there's people who are watching. I'm not talking about other Christians or skeptics or whatever, but there's people, there's neighbors, and there's people in your kids' schools, and there's people in your school if you're in school, and there's people who are in your church who are looking at you and they're wondering how you're dealing with what you're dealing with. Like, how come you're okay? And it really comes down to your foundation, your anchor. And sometimes people try and meet you in a way where they think you're doing a lot worse than you are, when maybe you're in a health crisis or something and you're actually a lot more anchored than you are. And then there's people who will disregard you because they don't know how to deal with someone in crisis or conflict. And so they push back or they pull back because they don't know how to deal with crisis. And in those places, one of the most beautiful things is that we have the living God in relationship with Him. And we have Jesus walking by our side. And the footprints poem is either real or it's not. I mean, it's such an example of how, like, why is there only one set of footprints now, God? There was two. And He said, because I had to carry you through that. And that's such a real thing. It's like, not only do you cast your weight, you know, on God, but you are the weight. Sometimes you in your life is the weight that Jesus is carrying. The biggest thing in these seasons that you have to do when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're feeling weight that you are out of control, or you feel like weight that you know you need to cast on God, is just surrender. And surrender looks different for everybody. And there's people who can teach you to surrender because they're going through similar circumstances. But then sometimes people who've gone through similar circumstances, how they deal with their surrender is way different than you would ever deal with your surrender. And I know we were never meant to carry and pick up what, you know, the world has for us and what the normal human condition is. We're called to His peace and His joy and His confidence and His strength. I love the scripture, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to Him and trust Him and He will act. Psalm 37:4-5. And when we're in those seasons of, you know, there's a crisis or there's something heavy, or whether it's I have friends right now who are experiencing the worst financial conditions they've ever experienced, or people who are just waiting for a miracle in their marriage, or people who are waiting for whatever it is, whatever the crisis is, just, you know, name yours here, list yours here. To know that God wants to give you the desires of your heart, if you commit to Him and you're trusting He's going to act for you. There's two types of trust. There's one that goes into it kind of like, oh, I don't know what's going on, and I'm totally terrified, and I'm still carrying the weight of it, and I'm hoping God will move. But there's another kind that says, God, You're worth it, even if I don't see the results that I understand. I want Your desires in my heart, not my desires for my life, because I'm living for Your desires. And that's part of the surrender of saying, like, I don't need the outcome to match my expectation anymore, but I'm going to actually allow it to match your expectation. And the Father's always kind of His sentiments. Like, if He was speaking to this, it was like, trade your heaviness for my joy, or trade your anxiety for my peace, or trade your exhaustion for my strength, or trade your uncertainty for my faithfulness, trade your weakness and repentance for my wholeness. I mean, that's who the Father is. And the weight exchange that's happening now is, or it can happen now as soon as you commit to it. If you commit to it, this is like why you sing those songs. I trust You, Lord, or have Your way, or You can have it all, or all these things. Come into my fullness and You can take everything. And, or I surrender all is one of the most famous hymns that Christian sings. And this is the season where it's like, did you really mean it? Because are you going to surrender? there's two ways you can go about this, or there's three ways. One is not surrender, one is partially surrender, one is fully surrender. And most of us live, including myself, much of the time, and I've had to, you know, keep working on myself to live in fully surrendered, because I like to still take control, or I still want to manage what, you know, people think about me, or I want to manage the situation of crisis, or I want to manage, you know, even if it's a world crisis. There's so many times that I've tried to do something in my own strength to be able to contribute to something, even that turns into a Messiah complex or codependency or all kinds of things. And so, do we really mean it when we said you can have it all, God? Did you can have everything? And we have to learn how to lay down it all, so we can walk lighter, so we can walk with his weight. And he's working. And instead of heaviness, I mean, you're going to feel him. You're going to feel him carrying you. And that's something that sometimes people have the supernatural sense of. That's something that people just know. They have an internal well sense of being. I think of, you know, the current president of America is putting, President Trump is putting a faith department in, an actual legal department into the government right now. And I'm not sure, because it's an executive order, if it's going to be a permanent thing or not. And it's not just for Christianity, it's for all faiths to be recognized in the sense that we have freedom of religion in America, but it's being led by a Christian coalition of people with Paula White. And I think of how, you know, there's freedoms in certain countries to express Christianity. Like America, our persecution is very low. It's usually like online with online trolls, or it's online with, you know, or it's battles in local school boards that can be won potentially, and a lot of them have been won. Whereas there's like the Voice of Martyr organizations, or there's other places where Christianity doesn't always win their wars overtly, and so people are suffering and even persecuted. And when you're dealing with these principles, they have to work everywhere. They can't just work where it's posh. They have to work where it's the worst, and they do. That's the thing about the Bible, is it works for the wealthiest nations and the poorest nations, and it works the same way, not differently. It works the same way. And so when you wonder, when you go to, and I encourage everybody to go on a mission trip, everybody go on a short-term mission trip, because it will change you, especially go somewhere where there's suffering. And I've gone many, many places throughout my lifetime where there's so much suffering, and it rebalances you as well, because your priorities change. You start to realize how much you do have. And that's one of the greatest things we could benefit from, is to realize what God in his testimony in your life really is. And it helps us to surrender, to go, you are really good. You are so good. And if you haven't gotten to that place yet, then that's something that you do have control over. And you can internally allow Holy Spirit to mentor you, and you can be filling yourself up with the Word, because the Word leads to that goodness where you've come into a place of gratitude that you can't help. Like, no matter how bad things get, you can't help but be grateful for who Jesus is. I love the scripture, and I live out of the scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, because then you'll have your own weights. You're carrying your own weight. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him. So you're looking in all of your ways, you're looking for the good, you're looking for the positive, you're looking for God, you're looking for him to carry the burden. If you can't see the positive, you're still looking for, but God, you care more than I do about this, and you care with me about this. Acknowledge him, and he will straighten your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And that's such a powerful scripture. So I think that this word is a right now word. And I think that we're at a moment when you release the overwhelming from you. You just get it out of you. You get it off of you. You step into a divine exchange with God that he's prepared. And I think it's time to take a deep breath. It's time to say, I surrender and receive your burden, which is light, and your perfect peace, God. I mean, perfect peace, and just his love, just receiving his love and being present with his love changes everything. So I'm going to pray for you. Some of you are like, I totally relate to this. Some of you, this message isn't for you today, because you're not in this space. And so pray for somebody who is. And but God, we just bring us, the ones who are watching, the ones who are in this season together, we bring ourselves to you, God, and we say, help us to surrender everything. Help us to do a weight exchange, our weight and what we're carrying, what we're trying to control, what we're experiencing, what we haven't let go of yet, for your weight, God. We want to exchange with you. We want to give you everything we have, and we want to hear your voice, Lord. And I know one of the first ways that you ever speak to us is conviction of how we become more like you. Sometimes it's conviction of sin. Sometimes it's conviction of just thought life and principles that we believe that are less than God, which is also iniquity or sin. But it doesn't always feel the same, because it's not necessarily a moral issue. I pray, God, that you would help us in all these areas to just get convicted. The Holy Spirit, you lead us. You speak to us. The Word speaks to us in these areas. Help us to be able to cast our cares on you in such a beautiful way. God, we thank you so much for all you're doing in our lives. And we pray that as your voice comes, as we press into, as we exchange our weights, that we would experience a difference in life that only you could lead us into, that's so other than, because there's so many people going through similar or even harder things, but yet they can't access this place of peace because they're not accessing it through you. Holy Spirit, we don't want to be like that. We want to access it through you. So we surrender all. The songs that we sang, you can have it all, Lord. You are worthy of it all. We just pray right now that you would take that place you built in us from all the times of worship, all the times of prayer, all the times of reading the word, and we truly give you it all, God, and help us to feel the rebalancing of the weight in our lives right now, in Jesus' name. Well, you guys, thanks for watching today or listening today. If you've been enjoying these episodes, make sure to join us for the conversation on YouTube. You can subscribe there, hit notifications so you get all of our videos, both our Sean Bowles show, which is a news commentary show, or this, Exploring the Prophetic, or even Exploring the Marketplace, where we have conversations with everyday people about how Jesus has made different opportunities for them and their career in the marketplace. And we hope to see you next time. Also, I do want to say this before I say, I hope we see you next time, which is this show is made possible by generous donations from people just like you. And if you would consider supporting us, you can go to bowlesministries.com and press give, and all this money goes to making the work of the kingdom, helping people navigate culture, helping these videos, this content be made. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.seanbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlesministries.com or seanbowles.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.